We're starting the series, Hope Has a Name. And of course, his name is Jesus. And of course, he is in our hearts. And he is already present in this room. And that's very good news indeed. So we're going to be talking about hope. We're going to be talking about mercy today. And I want to just ask to focus into what type of God are we following? I've got two questions, really. What type of God are we following? And so what? So what? What sort of adventure, if we're going to follow this God, what's he like? And what sort of adventure is he going to take us on? Well, God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Who needs a bit of mercy today? Do you know what mercy means? It means loving kindness. Who needs a bit of loving kindness today? Is anybody with me? Does anybody need a bit of loving kindness in their hearts today? I certainly do. And when I was a young adult, when I was 18, 19, quite a long time ago now, I certainly needed some love and some mercy in my life. I was far away from Jesus. When I was 18, 19, I left school and I thought, I'm going to have a gap year. I thought, maybe I need to get away from my parents. I'll just leave them and I'm going to go on a gap year. And ironically, my parents introduced me to a family from the US and they had a son who was about my age. His name was Austin. And Austin said, why don't you hang out with me in the States? And so at the end of the summer, I rang him up. I said, Austin, is that invitation still open? He said, yeah. He said, come over. We're not living in Vermont. My parents live in Maryland, but we're going to go to Vermont. This was his plan. I said, why are we doing that? He said, well, the drinking age in Vermont's only 19, so we can just party, party, party. So that was my plan, was to leave the UK where I was living and to go and join Austin in Vermont and party, party, party. That was my plan. I didn't really think about life. I didn't really have a plan and a future. I didn't really know what to do with my life. I'd rejected God. I was an atheist at the time. And so I got on a plane and I arrived in Vermont and he said, Toby, I've got a suitcase full of marijuana. And he opened up this suitcase and we started smoking this marijuana. Every night we'd smoke a bit of marijuana in a bong. And we'd get drunk, we'd go to the pub, and we thought we were having a good time. But life was a nightmare because marijuana is not a good drug. People say it's just a gateway drug. And it is a gateway drug to more serious drugs. But in its own right, marijuana is not a good drug at all. The chemical in it is called THC and it's very dangerous. 1 in 5 people who use marijuana on a regular basis end up in psych ward, end up with some serious mental health issues. And so it's freely available. It's freely available today. If you go off to a music festival, it's freely available in music festivals. But nowadays, it's particularly dangerous. It's not a fun drug. But I carried on smoking away, and my life was empty, so I just smoked marijuana. And one day, even we were at a pub, and these friends of mine, I'd sort of made these acquaintances, they said, Toby, we're going out the car park and we're going to do some coke. Now, I knew they weren't talking about the brown fizzy stuff. So I followed them merrily down into the car park. And they, sure enough, they got out a mirror and they put 4 lines of coke on this mirror. But fortunately for me, they handed me a $10 bill. Unfortunately for me, I was totally incompetent in taking hard drugs. Heaven knows if I'd actually taken in those drugs, heaven knows where I'd have ended up. So what I did, I tried to snort these 4 lines, and fortunately, I sneezed them all out. I was never actually invited back out to the car park again. But that was probably a very good thing, but I just carried on this lifestyle. I thought, it's all about the next party. It's all about the next festival. I'm just going to go and just have a good time. I was dead to sin. I didn't even know what was going on. I didn't even know, didn't have a plan, didn't have a future. The only plan I had for my life was the next party. And my parents found out about it. And of course, they were pretty devastated about it, actually. But I just carried on until I was about 23. I found myself alone in a nice corporate job, but I was alone. The only plan I really had, proper plan, was to make a lot of money. And I got into property development, and I had this job, and it was a pretty good job, but I was very lonely. My party lifestyle became washed up, and there was nothing there. There was nothing there. And one day, I found myself on my knees. I found myself saying, do you know what? I am dead to all this. I probably wouldn't use these exact words, but I knew I'd stuffed up. And I said, Jesus, please come into my life. I need you. I need your kindness. I need your love in my life. My life's gone to ruins. It's gone to pot. And do you know what? He answered that prayer. He came into my life. And he said to me, Toby, I love you. He poured out his rich kindness upon me, his rich mercy upon me. He's so rich in mercy, and he loves us so much that even though we were dead, and I was dead to my sins right then, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And I really needed to hear that then. And I realized for the first time that God loved me, and he was pouring out his rich mercy upon me, his loving kindness upon me. And suddenly, I had hope in my life. I thought, up until now, I've just had this plan of partying. But now, he gave me hope, a plan for the future. And that was a great, great thing. Because heaven knows if I'd continued on in that lifestyle. And so I've got four key points about hope and mercy. The first one is that God is so rich in mercy that he sent his son to die for us, to give us hope and a future. Secondly, the Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. So when I was down and out and lost and suffering without hope, I cried out, and maybe you need to do this. You can cry out. You can cry out, and God will hear us. He hears that prayer. He hears that prayer. And he doesn't just stop there. He starts to give us, we all have a plan. God has given each one of us a plan. And you've been away on camp and you've been praying about some of these plans and purposes. He has. Let me reassure you that he doesn't just want you in a goldfish bowl. He has a plan and a purpose for you. You just need to reach out and cry out for him. He has a hope and a plan. And God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. He's got a plan. He's so merciful. He's got a plan for those who ask for it. Hope has a name. Hope has a plan. Jesus is that hope. And he has a plan for all of us. He has a plan for me. I didn't have a plan. But now God has put on my heart a plan. A plan. And it's called Coach. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Coach and a little bit about life care. And that's the plan that he's put on my heart. That's the call he's put on my heart. And I'm going to touch on that in a little moment. But who needs God's mercy today? Maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you're not quite sure where you are with God. Cry out to him and he'll answer that cry, that prayer. He'll answer it. The third verse I have, the third key verse, and it's not coming up there. I don't know what's happening to the clicker, guys, but it's not happening. If you can push on to the next verse, that would be awesome. Let's say this one together. Follow me. For I desire mercy. For I desire mercy. You with me? For I desire mercy. Not sacrifice. Not sacrifice. An acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. An acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. So what's all that about? Well, in the Old Testament times, you came to the temple with your offering. You came to the temple with your animal, your goat, your sheep, and you offered it at the table as a sacrifice. Now, we don't live in those days. We don't live in those days. We don't come to church with a goat or a lamb. But what we do is we offer a sacrifice of praise. And we have been worshiping God. And isn't that a fantastic thing? I love worshiping God. Do you know, at home, they don't really let me dance or sing. But when I come to church, I can dance, I can sing. I'm not going to get on the band with TK, but it's pleasing to the Lord. I slightly worry that the mic might be on when I'm singing, but you wouldn't be blessed. But I'm blessing God with my singing, and it's a good thing. And you've been away, and you've been worshiping God, and many of you. And that's a wonderful thing. But what's more important than that is loving mercy. Is loving mercy. That's more important. Desiring, he desires mercy over even our praise. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And of course, church, if we don't put mercy at the top of our agenda, he may reject our worship, which is a bit of a challenge. And that's what the message of the prophets were. Hosea made that message, gave that message, that God wasn't listening to the sacrifices. And Isaiah made that same message. Gave that same message. And all the prophets actually gave that message. God rejected the Israelites' sacrifices, their worship, because they failed to give and show mercy. And of course, Jesus preached this verse, Hosea 6:6. He said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I've not come to call the righteous but sinners." But how do we learn about that? Jesus is saying to us, "I desire mercy. Go and learn about that." Well, for me, it doesn't come easy. Showing mercy, it can be a little inconvenient. And it can be a little challenging. It can be a bit tough. It's good to have role models. It's good to have people like Lockie. It's good to have people like Graham and Cheryl on the video, those mentors who were mentoring Charmaine and Phil. For me, I follow my wife. She's pretty good at mercy. Just a couple of years ago, she said, "Toby, why don't we get back into fostering?" I said, "No problem. Just one child, please." But somehow, two children turned up. And I said, "Well, I'm sure I just signed for one." She's very merciful, she's very generous, and she's very gives a lot. And often around our home, there are lots of what I call Laura's waifs and strays, who she scooped up. Sometimes they come for a couple of nights, sometimes they come for a year. Just the other week, I love a bit of rugby. I was chatting to some friends about the rugby, and just before Christmas, that it was, in fact, I was waiting to watch the Wallabies versus England. So I'm not an AFL fan, I'm a rugby fan, that's what I played at school, and I was super excited about this game. 2:30 kickoff, I was looking at my watch, but we were playing with the foster kids, but I was trying to sneakily slip away, and 2:30 kickoff, and I was just trying to get away from the foster kids, but they wanted to play with me. And Laura said, "Come on, you know, you can record the rugby. You can put that, you know, you can record. Just come and show some mercy. Draw close to those kids, play with them." And I was a little bit challenged by that. And it's good to be challenged. It's good to make poverty personal. Maybe it's your school. Maybe there's somebody you know who's on the edge. Maybe at your university. Maybe in your workplace. Somebody who's just a bit marginalized. Maybe God is saying to you today. Maybe he's been speaking to you. You're coming out of this goldfish bowl. Maybe you're a young adult. You come out of this. You've been praying. You've been full of the Holy Spirit. Maybe God's calling you today just to step out and draw close to that young person in your university, that colleague, that peer, that fellow student, that workmate. Maybe he's saying, draw close to them. Show them some mercy, some loving kindness. Connect with them. Just like Lockie's been doing. connect with them. Or alternatively, you can become a mentor. Because God, my point three, God desires worship. Mercy over worship. God desires mercy over worship. And that mercy brings hope to others. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Let's say this together. To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So, what does that mean, to act justly, to love mercy in Australia today? Now, we live in a fantastic city. Melbourne is just awesome. It's the number one city, the most livable city in the world. We live in the second most livable country in the world, Australia. It's a beautiful place. I'm so thankful and grateful to God that I live in this place. You've been in Mount Eliza. Do you know, Mount Eliza is very close. We used to live down there, and I used to think, perhaps I'm in heaven already. It's just absolutely lovely place. And the water's lovely, and the bush, and it's just a glorious place. Australia is a wonderful, wonderful place. We've got lots of strength in this nation. But do you know what? There is an undercurrent. There is something wrong as well, which we need to do something about. One in three women, since the age of 15, have been abused by their current or former partner. And that is not acceptable. That's injustice right there. And we want to step up and do something about that. We want to show mercy to people who've been downtrodden, who've been oppressed. Women, and sometimes men as well, who've been oppressed, abused. It's just not acceptable. It's just not acceptable. And God wants us to step up and put that right up the agenda. And he wants us to step out as a church and do something about that. And I'm super proud. I'm super proud that we are doing something about that. It's called Coach and it's called Life Care. Coach stands for creating opportunities and casting hope. And what a coach is, like Lockie, is that friend with purpose who goes out into the community, draws alongside a young person or a family, and is making a difference and strengthening the community, showing that young boy to be a positive role model, to not get into be an abuser, not to become somebody who's going to neglect their children or abuse their children or abuse their partner, somebody who's going to be a positive person in this community. And we're seeing young people flourish in the community, and that's a very good thing. Like Graham and Cheryl, ordinary people, but with Jesus in them, going on a crazy adventure sometimes, but drawing close to the vulnerable, drawing close to the marginalized, and bringing hope into people's lives. And it's a very, very exciting thing. We run Coach at a Crossway, but it's also right across this nation now. We're in most states. We're in Western Australia, just started up this year. We're in the UK. And if you came this morning, you would hear Paul Cowley talking about Coach in London. And he had some great stories how Coach mentors, like our mentors, like Lockie, have made an impact in central London. And incredible stories of transformation. I really suggest watching his sermon online, because it was a very, very powerful message this morning. A really encouraging message of hope. So point four, God says, act justly, love mercy. And it's just great where Coach is going, and the other Life Care ministries. We don't just do mentoring, we offer counseling. We have a women's center that's supporting women who've been through domestic violence, who've been through family violence, and that's a very, very good thing. We have a Be Empowered ministry that helps people, and some of you are volunteering in that. Thank you for volunteering with Be Empowered and Be Together. We have a missional community called Be Together that's seeing the whole community transform. This community around here, Forest Hill, Nunawading, we have 50, 60 vulnerable people doing it tough, coming in but sharing their lives, encouraging each other, supporting each other, flourishing together. And that's a very, very good thing. But it does cost. And we ask you to think about giving. Think about praying for us. We do need prayer. We want to be known. Life Care wants to be known as much for prayer, prophetic prayer, as it is for social action. We really do need people to pray for us. Will you join us and praying for us? Maybe you can't get involved. Maybe you can't give. But maybe you can pray for us. Please come and see us at the desk afterwards. We've got a table in the foyer. Please come and pray for us. Sign up to pray for Life Care. Everybody can do that. But everybody can also, I would challenge us. Maybe you don't really have a plan. You're in university, or just think about university. Maybe you haven't thought about your future. How about giving out 1 or 2 hours a week to be a mentor? Coach is designed for busy people. You might be at university, you might be also working a job, but it's 1 or 2 hours a week to make poverty personal, to bring mercy, to bring justice in somebody's life, and perhaps they would come and they would realize that you are full of the Holy Spirit. Do you know Coach is a really good mentoring program? It meets all the secular standards of mentoring. It's got all the checks and balances and all the, really good training. Over 1,000 mentors have been through Coach. But do you know that what is unique about it is that people are going out with love in their hearts, with Jesus in their hearts. And that's what's unique. And that's the difference between it and maybe a secular program. And people coming to faith. Charmaine came to faith as a result of Graham and Cheryl's love. Care, just 1 or 2 hours a week, but over a period of time, she came to faith and she's been transformed. We'd love to chat to you in the foyer. We'd love to engage with you. You can give, you can pray, or you can join the Life Care team. We'd love to talk to you a little bit more about that after the service. So what type of God are we following? What type of God are we following? We're following a God that's so rich in mercy that he sent his son to die for us. Maybe that's a message you need to hear today. A God who gives mercy and hope to those who ask for it. A God who has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. I was hopeless. My plan was to party. But he's given me an incredible plan for my life, a calling into my life. And I'm so thankful for that. A God who desires mercy even over our worship. So we all love to worship. I love to worship. He loves to worship. We all love to worship. But more important than that, he desires us to be merciful, to show loving kindness. A God who wants us to act justly and to love mercy in our communities. And perhaps in your university today, there's somebody you might have in mind. Perhaps at work, there is somebody you have in mind who's just on the edge, who's just struggling a bit lonely. Loneliness is huge in Australia. It's Mother Teresa called it the leprosy of Australia, loneliness. Maybe you know somebody who's lonely, somebody on your street who's lonely, somebody in your school who needs you to draw close to them. How about, as we pray now, as the band comes up, how about we pray? How about you just be quiet, just listen to the music and picture them, bow your head and picture them right now in your mind's eye. Somebody at work, somebody at university, somebody at school. And just be thinking about them. Lift them up. Perhaps they need your loving kindness as I pray with you. Let's bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so rich in mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you've poured out on our hearts loving kindness. But right now, Lord Jesus, I think you're calling us right now to have an adventure, to reach out, to be bolder, to not just be in that goldfish bowl, but to reach out across the street, across the schoolyard, across the classroom at uni, across the, you know, the coffee machine at work, to show loving kindness. So Lord, please help us to do that. Help us to step out from our comfort zones. We've had a great weekend. We've had a great Sunday. It's just been great to worship you, but you desire mercy over worship. So tomorrow morning, Monday morning, we pray that we be sensitive. Please speak to us prophetically, Lord. Maybe you just give us a nudge and just to go walk across the room to show mercy, to show loving kindness to that somebody And for some of us, we will step up like Lockie has. It will change us, Lord. You will change us through this, through making poverty personal. For some of us, it will be joining the life care team. Help us, Lord. Encourage us. If that's you, please come and see one of us at the life care table. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you hope has a name, and that your name, Jesus, means loving kindness. You bring hope to many, many people. We thank you, Lord. And all the people said, Amen.